Good morning. Oh, it's nice seeing everybody. How is everybody? Doing good? Awesome. Praise God. Spring's here, right? Yeah, woohoo. Angie and I actually sat on the front porch yesterday. It was so nice. I felt like my lazy dog sitting in the sun. It was awesome. So we got a couple quick things. Who can tell me what this is? It's a fire helmet, right? So guess what's going on this week? To this weekend. It's pancake breakfast. Please, if you can, if you haven't eaten, come out and help support the local fire department. We take the monies, and this is where we get our new gear, things along those lines. So please, it's $5, pancakes, sausage, hash browns, and eggs. So it's awesome. Just go past the fire station, turn right, and come up the alley. We're getting cars out in like a minute and a half. So please, come. Next week is Savannah's. Please take and help support Savannah's if you can. It's like $4 through and pancakes and sausage, so please come and support them. Again, that's where we get our gear. But on a church side, it's awesome to see everybody. We have some prayer concerns. We need to pray for our families. Please pray for our presidency, our nation. Health concerns, you know, those who aren't with us, those who are in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those who are fighting cancer. Children are too young. Our children are precious. Pray for our children. Keep them in prayer. Let's go to prayer. Gracious Lord, how wonderful you are. You're mighty. You're strong. You're loving. You're precious. Caring. Provisional. You give us guidance. You give us protection. You are a father of fathers, a king of kings, lord of lords. You are the healer. We ask you, Father, that you just look after our loved ones. Look after our nation, Lord. Look after our first responders. Keep them safe. Look after our police, Lord. Look after our military. Protect them and guide them, Lord. Let them to do their job. Most of all, Lord, let our feet walk the path that is called for us. Let our mouths and hands, O Lord, do your work. Fill our hearts with wisdom. Lord Jesus, please protect our pastoral staff. Protect the staff around the nation. Lord God, let them lead your church. Lord God, guide them on their path. And let every word, O Lord, that is directed from you fill their mouths. Most of all, Lord, let us always give you praise and worship. Guide us today, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. Please, everybody, stand.
Here are light shine in the darkness. As we walk before the cross, may your glory fill the whole earth. As the water o'er the seas, from the mountains to the valley, hear our praises rise to you. The sound of your name. dwelling here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Good morning. It is great to have you all here this morning, and we got some things that we'll update you on and some things to remind you of. Continue to pray for the people listed on the prayer list. There's some of those out on the table in the back, and we have a few updates concerning those. Melvin is back home. He is resting at home, doing all right. Continue to pray for them as they're going through kind of one of those stressful things. It was definitely not the way that Melvin wanted to spend his birthday last Wednesday in the hospital, but he's home and doing well. Also continue to pray for Larry. He's doing like Larry does, and that over the course of time with what he's got going on, the doctors are working with him, and by the dates they're giving him, it doesn't seem to be horribly bad, but continue to pray. So his aneurysm's not big enough to worry about at this point, which is a great thing, I guess. So that works. Also, continue to pray for Lou White. Lou has got some things he's got, a procedure being done for a pain blocker, but also has some other stuff going on. Pray for him. And our friend that we have asked you to pray for, Amy Wilhelm, passed away last evening. So pray for her family during this difficult time as they go on to life after losing her. And continue to pray for Libby Thulin as she's going back for another round of chemotherapy and stuff, getting ready for her bone marrow transplant. And I was given a bunch of these Pray for Libby Strong bracelets that will be available. If anybody wants one, they can have one following service, so all you kids don't run up here during while I'm preaching, unless you want to become a sermon illustration, but that'll work. So I'll have those following service if you wish to have one of those. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you that this is a day that you've created for us to live and to enjoy with you. The great thing is that no matter what comes our way, we can do that. We can trust you and we can follow you and we can walk with you in the brightest of times and in the darkest of times. Lord, we ask that you would be with all the people that are on our prayer list, Lord. There are so many with cancer and health concerns and struggles going on in their lives. But we just ask, Lord God, that you would touch them and heal them. And sometimes that means, God, that you would heal their bodies and their minds and their hearts and their ailments, and you would take away their cancer and you would give them more days. But Lord, we also understand and know that we are finite beings on this earth as far as our bodies are concerned, and that there will come a point in time where these bodies of ours just quit. But we know that when they do, that there is a great and glorious gift waiting for us called eternal life with you. And Lord, the person that we are continues on in your presence. And we just ask that you would be with those who have lost loved ones, for those who are struggling. Lord, we just ask that you would comfort them right now and that you'd wrap your arms around them and say, don't worry, it's all right. We've got this. And Lord, until we see you face to face, we will trust you in that. And we thank you and we love you, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. So this morning, we're going to continue on with some important questions. Last week, we talked about that important question that each and every person that walks this earth or has ever walked this earth or will ever walk this earth is going to have to answer. It's the question that God will ask of us concerning his son, who do you say I am? And it's the most important question because it is the question that is the entrance exam. And I heard something this week that was kind of interesting, and it differentiated between something that a lot of people don't catch. The English language is kind of weird. It's kind of simplistic in many ways, and sometimes it's very precise and direct. And some people say that they believe in God. They believe in a creator. They believe in him, but that's far different than believing him. You see, people who believe in God believe that the earth and all that is and everything that we are just couldn't happen by chance. We believe that there must be someone, something that created and started this big mess that we find ourselves living in and put it in motion and got it going. And they kind of search to try to find this God that they look for. But they believe that there is a God. They believe in a God. But here's the thing. When you believe God, period, like Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We read that in James 2:23. Abraham believed God and it was credited him as righteous. He believed, period. He believed God. And you know, sometimes believing God means that we have to believe what he says. Matter of fact, it's not sometimes, it's all the time. That's why when it says in Scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, when Jesus said that, that's the answer. And it's a tough question to ask of people, who do you say Jesus is, who do you say I am, when Jesus asked that question of each and every one of us. But it's a question that every person will answer. And this week we're going to see how Jesus asked a man named Pilate that same question, but he did it in a very unique way. And I believe that Pilate came to an understanding of who Jesus is, and the struggle was, what is he going to do about it? See, I think there's a lot of people who believe that Jesus probably is the way. He probably is the Son of God, but they have to answer it. And poor Pilate is put in a difficult place. In Matthew 27:1-2, it says, early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to a decision to put Jesus to death. So they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Pilate wasn't an ordinary man. He was selected from among men by the Romans to oversee the region and make sure that nothing went wrong and that there were no problems. And if there were going to be problems in the region or in Jerusalem or any of the surrounding area, he was to squash it as quickly as he could. But one of the things that Pilate wasn't ready for and Pilate would have struggled with was the fact that he was about to meet Jesus face to face. I'm sure by this time he heard about Jesus. He had heard stories about him and the different things he had done. But one of the things that he was going to do is come face to face with God and the Savior of the world. And here is Jesus faithfully and deliberately marching to the cross, step by step. The path that he was on led straight through the heart of Pilate's courtroom. And as he was there, Pilate was about to make the most important decision of his life. And it's hard because Pilate had no other choice than to make this decision because this was part of God's plan. This was part of the fact that Jesus came into the world to die on that cross. And to get there, he had to go through Pilate's courtroom. But Pilate would be asked the question, "Who do you say I am?" You know, this scene isn't a surprise to God. He knew his plan. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. Jesus in the garden was saying, "Lord, if there's another way, let me know. Come on." But he said, "Not my will, but your wills be done." And the disciples were warned about it, even though they thought this shouldn't happen. And what was about to take place was not an easy thing, but it was the thing that was going to change the world forever. Matthew 27, 11 through 26. We're going to stop a little bit short and not read the whole thing, but it says, "Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' 'Yes, it is as you say,' Jesus replied. And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he didn't give an answer. Pilate asked him, 'Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?' But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor." Let's pray real quick. Father God, 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood before Pilate and was asked a very simple question: "Are you the king of the Jews?" And this morning we're here talking about it and looking at it and pulling it apart and trying to apply it to our lives. But as we do, may we be reminded of the fact that Jesus is not only king of the Jews, he's king of kings and Lord of lords. So as Pilate wrestled with that question about who Jesus is, may we wrestle with that question. As the Jews wrestled with it, may we wrestle with it. As the world wrestles with it, may we wrestle with it as well, until the whole world might know who Jesus is in his wonderful name. You know, it's interesting when you look at that. I love that one line. "But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor." He answered Pilate because Pilate was the power sitting on the throne of the courtroom and had power over him in that moment. And he needed to answer correctly to that question, but he did not need to defend himself and the charges from the false religious leaders that were there. And the position that Pilate had was not a new position for him. It was his job to keep the order and to dole out justice and sort out the problems and make sure things were settled quickly and efficiently. But Pilate had experienced something new, because never before had he met or seen anyone like Jesus stand before him. He saw fanatics ready to die for what they believed. He saw defiant men fight and lash out all the way until their imminent demise. He watched people lie and beg for their lives. But here, Pilate was facing an innocent man who refused to defend himself and answer to the charges against him. He simply said, "Yes, I am the king." This man who began his ministry with Isaiah 61, where he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all those who mourn." He was the one who started with those words, is the one who finds himself concluding it with Isaiah 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep for the shear, before the shears is silent, so he did not even open his mouth." You know, Jesus was set on purpose because he was sent on purpose, and he knew his purpose in life. And that was to die on that cross to save us from our sins and to raise from the dead so that we would have eternal life. John the Baptist knew this in John chapter 1, verse 29. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And here is Jesus standing there in that courtroom. "I'm the King." He was ready to wrap things once up once and for all. And silently and deliberately he stood there as he was one of the final dominoes in a chain of events that was going to fall until the whole picture was revealed for the whole world to see, that God sent his Son to die to redeem that which was lost. And how incredible it is that we are part of that story, and we're all asked that simple question: who do you say Jesus is? Pilate was before the cross. We're a long time after. But what's interesting, all of us, are asked that question. And we see the greater story, the bigger picture, like everyone else that has been lived after this has had the opportunity to see. But one of the things is that this moment had a huge impact on Pilate. He heard the evidence that was presented by both sides. Jesus simply said, "Yes, I am the King." The Jews were saying all these things about him, and he had to declare a verdict. And the verdict he was about to declare was a difficult one. John 19, verse 4 says, "Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, 'Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for the charges against him.'" Now he's saying, "Look, this is an innocent man. I know this, and you know this." But yet the Jews were not going to be stopped in this moment. Pilate was in a complicated spot, doing justice and keeping the peace of the city. And then, unfortunately, like many men find out, the wife got in the mix. And she weighed in on the situation, and we can read that in verses 15 through 19. It says, "Now it's the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, as a last-ditch effort, basically, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?' For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: 'Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.'" His wife had a dream that this man was something special, this Jesus, that there was something going on there that she couldn't explain, but she was worried, like most women do, that her husband was going to make a bad decision, the wrong decision that was going to cost them everything. And you know, many wives have influenced their husbands in good ways to decide for Christ, and they've prayed and they've shared and they've loved unlovable men, and it was fortunate for them to have them at their side. And her words that day confirmed in his heart what he was supposed to do, but how was he going to get it done? He tried to get them to do the right thing, but they were determined on sending Jesus to his death. And then, of course, you know, it's so complicated because What do you do? It's part of God's plan. It was the place and the time was right for Jesus to die, and nothing could derail that plan. And here's poor Pilate going, what do I do? And he asked them the question, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who's called the Christ? Didn't seem like there was any simple way out. In verses 20 through 24, it says, but the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Once again, which of the two do you want me to release to you? Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked, and they all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And when Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood, this innocent man's blood. It's your responsibility. You know, it's interesting that in that human court of law, Pilate cleared himself of any crimes or failures on his part by washing his hands of the situation. It's kind of like in the last day or two of a presidency when the president gets out and he pulls in pen and paper and starts pardoning people. Here's Pilate pardoning himself. Many times we don't understand why presidents pardon people and certain people and don't pardon others. But I think the reason that Pilate washed his hands and said, I'm innocent, was because he knew what was about to happen and he didn't want to take the rap for it. So what happens? Well, the crowd sweeps through and everybody goes along. And in verses 24 through 26, we read, when Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I'm innocent of this man's blood, he said. It's your responsibility. And all the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. You know, this is where we're at in the story as we head towards Easter. We're coming to that stark reality that Jesus, the Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was flogged and going to be crucified for the sins of all mankind. And he might have been innocent of this decision that was being forced upon him by washing his hands in a human court of law, but we are all guilty of why Jesus had to die. Every last one of us are responsible for why he was willing to die. Because every last one of us are deserving of what these religious leaders called down upon themselves. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Everyone knew who was innocent in that courtroom and who was guilty. Jesus was the only innocent man standing. And all the rest, every last one, are as guilty as sin. And how deranged do you have to be to blatantly damn yourself and your children to hell? I had a great conversation this week with a friend of mine. His name's Zach. I stopped in and I was picking up something where he works. And we were talking and he goes, I have a question. He says, you know me and my views. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to take a while. So I sat down in a chair and he goes, you know that I believe in Darwinism and I'm not religious. And I'm like, you are, but you know, you've got your own take on things. And he goes, my daughter goes to a parochial school and she's learning about creation. And I'm trying to figure out what to do because I know what I believe and I know what she's being taught. And I'm trying to help her make sense of this. And here's the coolest thing he ever said. He said, and I don't want to impose my crazy ideas on her, but want her to understand what she's learning and be able to look at it. And I don't know how to explain that. When science says it's billions and billions of years, and they're saying it's 6 days of creation and 7 days of rest, he says, I don't know how to help her make sense of that. And I'm like, faith is a rough thing, isn't it? You're believing in a theory versus a fact. We see 24 hours as a day. I said, it's a tough one. I said, it's one of the irrelevant ones to me. I said, because the tough question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? But what I loved was, he was not willing to let his crazy ideas, feelings, and thoughts damn his daughter to the same track he was on. But said, I want to help her search and learn and grow on her own, and maybe she'll come to a different conclusion than I am. I don't want to force her down my path, but let her come to an understanding for herself of what she'll believe. And I'm like going, that's way better than what these guys are saying. They're saying, let his blood be on us and our children. How many people do that? How many people do that to their wives, their husbands, their children, to their family, and condemn them and don't even give them a chance to hear the truth? How many people do we condemn because we don't share the truth with them about who Jesus is? Because we're scared or we don't want to. And we go along with the crowds, kind of hiding out in the back like Peter, hoping they don't recognize who I am. Maybe they won't notice me, and we try to slide through instead of standing with him. You know, right now I believe that the world is set on destroy. And the world's getting crazier and it's spinning up faster. How many of you remember the good Willy Wonka movie? Gene Wilder. He's my favorite. You know, when they get in the boat and things start going and spinning and the lights are flashing, it's going faster and faster, and you got the Oompa Loompas and they're doing their thing and it's getting crazier and crazier, and then all of a sudden it stops. And you don't know if they've ever really left the dock and gone down the river or if they just arrived at the same spot. But right now, that's the world ride we're on. One day it's going to stop. And we're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to ask, who do you say Jesus is? And here's the problem. He's not going to be asking what your decision is, if you'll follow him or not. He's going to be asking what your decision was, because there will be no turning back. So right now, we must ask everyone that we know and love, and even those we don't like or even those we hate, we need to ask them, what will you do with this Jesus? Because we all must decide what we will do with Jesus Christ. So you need to ask yourself that question, what shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with him? You have choices. You can accept him for who he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can accept him for what he's done, died on the cross so each one of us could have forgiveness of sins and be free. That we could have eternal life because he was raised from the dead and he promises he'll do the same for those who follow him and love him. And he does, and why he did it was because he loves his Father and he loves you and wants you to be with him forever. Or you can reject him. That's okay. I don't really think you've thought that through. You know, my buddy Zach, I love him to death. He's crazy. He's fun. And you know what? He says, that's not me, man. But he's always asking questions, and I keep loving him towards the answer. That's my job. Not as a pastor, but as a Christian following Jesus. I'm stuck. And maybe one day he'll change his mind. Now, I'm hoping that it gets it done before Jesus stands there and says, "Who do you say I am?" You guys know my favorite tormenting passage is the separation of the sheep and goats, because there are people there who say, "I've called you Lord my whole life," who don't make it because they believed in a God, but they didn't believe God. What will you do with Jesus? And that is a question that demands an honest response of each one of us. And it's one that you need to make now because we don't know when this ride's going to end. I don't know how much time we've got. My hope is there's still a chance. Jesus gave us the answer in how he lived and died and rose and lives again for us. And in John 14:6, he answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hope and desire is to meet God face to face with a clean conscience one day and not be worried about heaven versus hell because you know what your answer already is, that's awesome. I want to encourage you to keep walking by faith with Jesus and walk towards him and embrace him in all areas of your life because he's more than just a get out of hell free card. But if you haven't, I want to encourage you to do so. I want to encourage you to trust Jesus, that he is who he said he is, that he is who Pilate said he is. He is who the religious leaders tried to kill off, the one who upset the apple cart of religion and replaced it with a real relationship that we can all have through the shedding of his blood and his resurrection from the dead. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that how you live out your answer matters, because you just might be encouraging someone to take a deeper step towards Jesus, or you might be barring the door for innocent people you love from ever hearing the truth about who Jesus is. So the worship team is going to come and lead us in our closing song, but if you don't know Jesus, what are you going to do about him? Because he's a question you have to answer in your life. And if you have Jesus, what are you going to do with him as you live your life for him and share him with a lost world? Let's pray. Father God, am amazed that Pilate could come to an understanding of who Jesus is, and that he would be able to wrestle with what he was having to do. And many of us are like Pilate in our lives, that we sacrifice Jesus on a cross to keep the peace where we live or work, to make others happy. But we know that was part of your plan then, but it is not part of your plan now, because Jesus died on the cross once for all, that all might be saved. We don't have to kill him off in our lives. Matter of fact, we're supposed to allow him to raise up to new life within us, and we become like him, that we stand boldly with him. And Lord God, I just pray that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we'd be bold enough to take those difficult steps to stand. And Lord, even when we're like Peter and we hide and we run and we deny, Lord, I just pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, for they are many, and you'd cleanse us from unrighteousness, and that you would restore us, and you would love us anyways, just like you promised you always would. And Lord, if there's anybody here or hears this message who has not come to a conclusion of who is Jesus, may they know that Jesus, you are the Son of God who died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that anyone who puts their trust and their hope and their faith in him will never be put to shame, but will be called children of God, for that is what we are. And Lord, may we live that every moment of every day. Through your wonderful and precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song. As we close, I want to remind you of a couple things. And one, if you haven't made your lunch plans today and you want something to grab and take home and eat, head on by the fire department. They got a great thing going for you. The other would be, don't forget, if you're interested and you want one of these Pray for Libby bracelets, please do so. Okay, you can grab one. I've got 2, 4, 6, 8. So you better be quick. Also, remember that the Easter offering, the entirety of what comes in on Easter Sunday, is going to go to help them out with their medical bills and all that's going on in their world right now, and what their needs that they have, because this has been an incredibly difficult and long journey, and it's impacting them. So plan ahead of time to give generously on Easter. And you guys have been doing a great job, because I don't say much when you're leaving to remind you about the offering plates, but you guys are doing a great job, and I know there's a lot of people who mail it in and that can't be with us. So I want to encourage you to continue to do that and help continue to support the work of the church, but also honoring God with all that he's blessed you with. So let's pray as we go this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that you love us and you sent your Son to redeem us. And you've given us your Holy Spirit that we might be able to walk confidently through whatever we face. And Lord God, I pray that each and every one of us would settle that question of who do you say Jesus is and what are you going to do with Jesus? Two very important questions. One, well, they both matter for eternity. But that first one, it makes all the difference in how we live right now and determines how we'll live then. And my hope is that the only way the blood of Jesus is on our heads and the heads of our children is as a purification rite. Like when the plagues were there and they put it above their doorposts and the angel of death passed over. Lord, I just pray that everybody that I know would know you and that they would be saved because Jesus Christ, you're their Savior and their Lord. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.
I mean, there's going to be times coming up that that Nathan has karate tournaments and Chris that I have to go to that I won't be able to be back here. So, are you interested in doing it still?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah.
I didn't know there was like a schedule or someone's supposed to.
No. Yeah, my wife is a lot better at that kind of stuff than I am. So, I like coming up and asking, I totally can do it. I just kind of do it.
You just come on back here.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
I used to do Taekwondo.